Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series looking at the 12 apostles. And next up, James, son of Alphaeus, a more quiet disciple, but a man who found his calling, leading and supporting within a community. And so we turn it over now to Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Well, good morning, men. Welcome. Man of the Mirror Bible Study. We will have some people joining us through our podcast, and so let's join it together and give them that warm, rousing Man in the Mirror welcome we always do on the count of three. One, two, three.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! We're glad to have you men with us online. Our talk today is on James. We're doing this series, Getting to Know the 12 Disciples. James, and he is a superb example of a level five leader. For those of you who have looked at Good to Great, you know a level five leader is that quiet kind of leader who gets things done, and he does that with a combination of humility and a very strong will. So he's quiet, but he's not meek. He's ferocious, but he's not unkind about it. He's not proud about it. He's not a publicity seeker. And so that's the kind of leader that we have in James, the James we're going to look at this morning. First thing I want to look at with you together is, who was James? How many times is a James actually mentioned in the Bible? Well, there are 45 mentions of the name James, but there are only four that are distinctly James, the son of Alphaeus, who's the James we're going to look at. We've looked at James, the brother of John, previously. Today we're going to look at James, the son of Alphaeus. So just a little bit of about these different Jameses. The first one we're going to look at there, James, son of Alphaeus. It's interesting because Matthew is also called the son of Alphaeus in Mark 21, verse 14. It's very unlikely that these two were blood brothers. And why? Well, because James and John, they're always talked about as brothers, and Andrew and Peter, they're always talked about together as brothers. But there's no mention anywhere in the Bible of Matthew and James having this commonality of a father. Alphaeus was probably a common enough name that they were two different people. And then the second James is the brother John, also the son of Zebedee. And then the third one is the son of Mary and the brother of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, it says, isn't this a carpenter? Isn't Mary his mother? Aren't his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And so there is this son of Mary and brother of Jesus that is a James. And then there's this 4, 5, and 6. Number 4 in the list is James the Younger, who is the son of Mary along with Joseph. It's very possible that it's the same James as the brother of Jesus, but there were a lot of Marys, right? There were a lot of Marys, and so we don't know for sure. It's very plausible, maybe even probable, but certainly possible that James the Younger was also the brother of Jesus. But it could be that the younger or the lesser, it's the word Greek word is micros, it could also just be a way of distinguishing him from James, the brother of John, who was like the big guy, right? And then in Galatians 1, verse 19, Paul talks about James being the brother of Jesus, the blood brother of Jesus. And so we also know that James is the author of the book of James. And just a little sidebar, when we finish with this series, we're going to do a study in the book of James. Why are we going to do that? Well, it's like the New Testament's version of the book of Proverbs. So there are lots of really practical things in the book of James. We're going to look at that. And then there's another Judas who happened to be mentioned who is the James who is mentioned who happened to be the father of Judas, the disciple, not Iscariot. So probably best to think of this as three different James. We're going to be looking at James, the son of Alphaeus, okay? Now, what's interesting, he is considered to be, there's a festival that takes place in his name every year. I think it's in May. This is a statue, for those of you who can see what we're talking about here, that depicts what he might have looked like. It's a beautiful rendition. And then let's talk a little bit about what we don't know about James, the son of Alphaeus. We don't know any personal details. You've heard my little formula that I use when I'm trying to get to know somebody, FOSWIG, family, occupation, education, sports, work, interests, goals. And then we don't know anything about his health. We don't know anything about his finances. We don't know anything about his personality. We don't know what his DISC profile was. We don't know which of the 16 Myers-Briggs possibilities he was. We don't know anything about his temperament. Was he choleric? Was he melancholic? Was he a flag? Was he sanguine? We don't know. We don't know any of his personal characteristics. We don't know if he was warm. We don't know if he was impatient. We don't know if he had zeal. We don't know if he was a kind person. We hardly know. We know nothing about his personal details. So what do we know? Well, we know everything the Holy Spirit wants us to know. And it turns out it's quite a lot. As I was thinking about this text this week, or this character this week in the text that applied to him, I was thinking, you know, you would think that there would be more information in the Bible about one of the 12 disciples, this guy, James, son of Alphaeus, by accident. But there's nothing about his work, individually his work, or individually him as a person. And yet, we know everything the Holy Spirit wants us to know, and it turns out there's a lot that we know about this disciple. It's going to be amazing. His small group, here's what we do know. His small group was the venue that Jesus used to change the world. James, son of Alphaeus, was part of the small group that Jesus used as his venue. And 2 billion people today call Jesus Lord because of the work that transpired in this small group of which James is a part. So, Margaret Mead, the anthropologist from the 50s and 60s, she said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." So our big idea for the day, and we're going to unpack this, what we can accomplish together will dwarf what we could ever do alone. So you're going to see James had a tremendous contribution, a thrilling kingdom-building career, many things that he did and saw, and the Holy Spirit has chosen to leave him in virtual anonymity so that we can see what he did together as part of the group. So next thing, let's talk about this thrilling life of kingdom building that he participated in. So there are these four verses in the Bible in which we see his name. And the first one is from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his 12 disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them. So he had lots of disciples, but he chose 12 of them. So James, son of Alphaeus, was chosen out of 300 million people that would have been alive in that ancient world to be in this small group that Jesus was going to use as his venue to change the course of human history. James, son of Alphaeus, was chosen as a result of prayer. That's the first thing we know about him. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 19. Jesus went up on this mountainside. This is, again, there are three accounts of the same scenario. And then this one, it says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. So Jesus prayed, and then he selected James, son of Alphaeus, to be with him. And also that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And so, see, we actually know quite a bit about James after all. He was appointed by Jesus, and then he was given this mission. He was sent to preach. So he was a preacher. And we also know that he had authority to drive out demons or impure spirits. And then there you see the names of the 12. And then the third passage, all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all have this process. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. So he was given this authority. And then it says at the end, proclaim this message as you go, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So James is prayed over and appointed and given authority and told to go and preach this thrilling kingdom building message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. This is James as one of the group. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So this is a man who was not looking for the spotlight. He was not the kind of person who apparently the spotlight was looking for. You know, some people, like if you're Brad Pitt, the spotlight's looking for you. But, you know, for every Brad Pitt, there are thousands and thousands of other actors that the spotlight, you know, glances off of, right? We probably talked about this before, but I mean, Michael Medved talks about how the difference between the twinkle in an eye can be the difference between making $20 million for a movie and making a couple hundred thousand dollars for a movie. And you know this is true, Kit. You've taught this stuff. All right. So he was not that guy. Yeah, he was not the guy that had 100,000 YouTube channel followers. He was not the guy who was having a million people on TikTok. He just wasn't the guy. He was a social media flop. That's what he was. Nobody knows who he is, except in the context of being part of the group, right? And then in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 14, this is the fourth and final mention of James, son of Alphaeus. And again, it's in the list of disciples. And again, he's the ninth disciple listed in all the lists. And this is at the ascension of Jesus. They're out on a mountain somewhere in Galilee. And Jesus said to them, and then this disciple, James, son of Alphaeus, is one of them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority for his return, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So James had been given that power. So this disciple that we only know his name, we actually know quite a bit about him. We know that he's been prayed over, appointed, given authority. He's gone out with when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, the 12. We know that he went out with somebody else, and we know that he was driving out impure spirits and preaching the gospel and announcing that the kingdom had come. And we also know that he was there at the ascension, and Jesus said, "You're going to get power from the Holy Spirit." So we know he got power from the Holy Spirit, and that power that was given to him and then to all disciples is the power to be witnesses for Jesus. And then after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. So this disciple, who we looks like we don't know very much about, oh my gosh, we know so much about him, because every time the disciples are mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about James, son of Alphaeus. So not by name, but still talking about it. So I looked through Matthew, the book of Matthew. It took a while, but there are 269 references to the word disciples in the NIV version of the Bible. And I just realized, without some reading glasses, I can't read a single one of these notes. But I have, and I wouldn't do it anyway, but I went through, and just the book of Matthew, and all the different experiences that James, son of Alphaeus, who we would think, we don't know anything about him, was he a nice guy? Well, he probably was. Was he a humble guy? Yeah, he probably was. Was he a faithful guy? Certainly he was. But we really don't know much about him, except we know that he saw Jesus walk on the water. We know that he was one of the disciples that was arguing on the road about who was the greatest. So he wasn't a perfect guy either. We know that he was at the last meal with Jesus. He was there when Jesus looked at him and said, "This is my blood, this is my body." He was there for all of these things. And so we know these seven things for sure about him. He was chosen by prayer, appointed to preach and drive out demons, had authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every sickness and disease. He was called on to proclaim the kingdom of God, and he did, because he went out with the other disciples, heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and drive out demons, and he preached that people should repent, and they drove out demons, anointed the sick with oil and healed them. He received power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness, and he was an eyewitness to the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. So we know quite a bit about this disciple, but everything we know in the context of being in a relationship with other brothers in a small group. Look at all this disciple was able to do together with a group of brothers in a small group. The big idea today, what we can accomplish together will dwarf what we could ever do alone. There's so many things, the way we built the Man in the Mirror, the ministry, this all fits right into what we're doing in terms of everything. So in the United States, when in business, when you have a problem, the question is, well, how do we fix this problem? Right? If you have a job and there's something goes wrong, what's the question you ask? How do we fix this problem? Well, did you know that in Asia they ask a different question when they have a problem? They don't ask, how do we fix this problem? You know what they ask? They ask, what are the relationships we need to put into place to solve this problem? Huh? Interesting. And so I built my business, Morley Properties, around that. And then this ministry, Man in the Mirror, since 1986 when we started this Bible study, it's always been about relationships, long-term relationships, being in small groups, creating the venues for life change, where we could grow together, be together, serve together, impact together, because you will always be able to do more together than you would be able to do alone. And that's the big idea. What we can accomplish together will always, it's always going to dwarf what you could ever do alone. So you can have a thrilling life too, just like James, son of Alphaeus. How? Well, back to Margaret Mead's quote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, that's the only thing that ever has." Dwight L. Moody is one of my, I like dead people. I've told you this before. I like dead people because they can't embarrass you. And you start quoting somebody and then, they go off the rails. And, and you have to edit your stuff. So I like dead people. And my favorite dead evangelist is Dwight L. Moody. And so his son wrote an autobiography A son wrote an autobiography. That wouldn't make sense. His son wrote a biography about his dad, and he had this quote in the book. And I have this in a file, and I look at this all the time. Here's the quote. Moody heard a man say that the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. Moody thought to himself, he said, a man. He did not say a great man or a learned man or a rich man or a wise man or an eloquent or a smart man, but a man. I am a man, and it lies within the man himself whether or not he will make that full and complete consecration. And so, brothers, not many of us will be Peter's. Not many of us will be Paul's, but all of us can be James. All of us can be like the son of Alphaeus, James, a level 5 leader who is humble and who is determined because he has a strong will to make a difference, to participate in a venue, a small group venue, and be part of changing the world. So I want to challenge you to think through, have you made that full and complete consecration, that entire and full consecration? If not, I'd encourage you to do that. Do it today. Or if you have made this kind of complete consecration of your life in the past, and somehow you got all the way up to fourth gear, right? Or eight gears now. But anyway, somehow you slipped into neutral. Somehow, and your engine is revving, but you're not going anywhere. I'd encourage you to once again recommit yourself to this full and complete consecration. And instead of thinking that you have to go it alone, think of it this way. You're not supposed to go it alone. You're not supposed to go it alone. Most of the men that I know, and I know a lot of men who have become lethargic, who have become lukewarm, and in almost every case, it's because they're not in relationships with other men. In almost every instance, they're trying to go it alone. We are not made to go it alone. The big idea, what we can accomplish together will dwarf what we could ever do alone. James, son of Alphaeus, is our example of that for today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you that while at first we don't think we know much about this disciple, oh, we know so much about him when we look at him in the context of his group, his venue, the venue of Jesus, the kingdom-building venue of Jesus, of which we now, even today, are invited to be a part. And so we pray, God, that what we would take away from this is that we do need to be fully and entirely, completely consecrated to you or reconsecrated to you, but not to try to do that by ourselves, but to be part of a group so that we can do together what we would never be able to do on our own. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.